This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Dr. Georgia Michelle, Interim President and CEO of the National WIC Association. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with WIC's Dr. Georgia Michelle next. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, a global leader in seeds and crop protection products. At Syngenta, we talk to U.S. farmers and growers every day to hear their concerns and help them meet their challenges. From research and development to create innovative products to digital solutions to reduce water use and create healthy soil, we work hand in hand with America's men and women who feed and power the world. Our highly skilled teams are at the forefront of connecting technology with the oldest profession to utilize mobile apps, aerial imagery, and other advances to enable farmers and growers to make smart application and buying decisions for their farms. When the American farmer has a successful crop, we all benefit. And Syngenta is proud to work alongside the grower and farmer to make the best decisions for now and the future of their farm. Learn more about Syngenta and our support of the U.S. farmer online at syngenta-us.com. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. From the very inception of the Women, Infants, and Children's Program 50 years ago until today, WIC has improved the health and well-being of millions of pregnant women, infants, children, and families. Interim President and CEO Dr. Georgia Michelle says as regulators and legislators consider the future of the program, they look back to the mission that started in rural Kentucky 50 years ago.
I think one of the things that's really important to note is that this enormous program that exists today started because of a pilot. And piloting work in WIC is something that we still do today. That's how WIC is the innovative program that it is today. So in 1974, the first WIC clinic opened its doors in Pineville, Kentucky, and that was able to happen because of a pilot program that was led by Dr. David Page at Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Page was really concerned about rising rates of anemia in children and pregnant women, and so he started this pilot program to look at what would happen if we were able to prescribe certain foods to certain populations. And that kind of grew and grew and grew to become the WIC program that we all know and love today.
Isn't it interesting that in 1974, a doctor was drawing a relationship between nutrition and health? And even today, one of the more popular topics is food as medicine.
Yeah, food as medicine is really interesting. And I'm not sure if you've all seen recently, but the National WIC Association recently had commitments accepted to the White House strategy on hunger, health, and nutrition. And one of the things that we want to establish is that WIC really is the original food as medicine program. You know, we've been prescribing healthy foods as intervention for as long as we've existed. And one of the other unique and amazing things about the WIC program is that as well as providing high quality services, there is a whole literature and much, like, lots of data as well that demonstrates the efficacy of this program too. So we know, and we've known for a long time, that prescribing healthy foods as preventative care is one way that this program makes an enormous impact on the short and long-term health outcomes for moms and their families around the country.
The White House has offered its effort to end hunger and to build healthy communities. WIC can't do everything, but you've committed to do your part.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things that I love about the White House Challenge is that it's really bringing together very diverse stakeholders, and it's kind of acknowledging that if we're really going to make a dent in this enormous issue, it's going to take everyone. It's going to take the nonprofit sector. It's going to take government. It's going to take the private sector. And we all need to make these commitments together and work in lockstep to really see change happen.
Georgia, just how big is the child poverty issue and is food insecurity in the nation?
It's unacceptably large, is my response to that. You know, this is the wealthiest nation in the world, and we're still seeing families who don't know where their next meal is coming from, which is horrific. WIC serves almost 7 million women, infants, and children across the U.S. and is working with other community organizations to really think about how we create a safety net for families to help them feel confident that they're going to know where they can access food.
When we think about the funding impasse that seems to be ongoing in Washington, I noted that a year ago the House had proposed cuts to the WIC program, and that in the impasse that we've seen, even to see the fiscal 24 and now considering the fiscal 25 spending for the nation, that 2 million women, babies, and young children impacted in this decision over funds in Washington.
Yeah, and I can't stress this enough. We have just averted an extremely serious crisis. If the WIC funding had not come through, then you're absolutely right. We're looking at, you know, upwards of 2 million people not being able to access a program that they need. And so, you know, this program has historically received bipartisan support, which is solid ground that we've always been able to stand on. So I can't tell you how discouraging it's been for our members, for the families that our members serve, to see how folks have been behaving in Washington over the last few months. It's been unprecedented and, as I say, extremely disappointing. So as much as we are absolutely delighted to have the funding established to serve current participants and also folks who are eligible but not yet participating, all those people can, you know, can have a huge sigh of relief that WIC's going to be there for them. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that, you know, we've just come through an incredibly difficult process that's been incredibly anxiety-inducing for the folks who run the WIC program, not knowing if, when, how the program is going to be funded. So the fact that a bill was passed and the funding has been established is absolutely fantastic, but it didn't happen by chance. I think a lot of hard work and a lot of advocacy went into making, like, supporting Congress to make the right decision, and that's what it was. It was a no-brainer of a decision, to be frank. You know, we're talking about providing healthy food, breastfeeding support, other kinds of support to families who are eligible for the WIC program, and to even fathom taking that away is inconceivable.
With over 330 million people in the U.S., how many are you serving through the WIC program?
Yes, so WIC serves almost 7 million women, infants, and children across the U.S. Almost half the babies born in the U.S. are eligible for WIC. So it's a significant section of the population who are impacted by WIC. And if you think about the last 50 years and the number of people who have been touched by the WIC program, we're talking about tens of millions of people.
So if we look at the universe of people in the United States, recognizing the number that you serve now, from your perspective, how many could be or should be served through WIC? Are you meeting the need completely, or is there still a lacking percentage of people?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the reality is about half of all folks who are eligible for the program are still not participating in the program. And this is for a number of reasons. I think accessing the program can be challenging. Over the last few years, we've seen some phenomenal modernization of WIC, and we want to kind of continue that momentum to keep making this program as participant-friendly as possible. And I think there's a number of ways that we can get to that and that we can make sure we are reaching all eligible folks. I think, you know, there's things like the WIC food package, which, you know, we are hoping that in the next month or so, there'll be a final rule updating the WIC food package to make it, to increase the choice and flexibility that WIC participants have in terms of the range of healthy foods that they can purchase with their WIC benefits. And at the National WIC Association, we feel really strongly about choice and flexibility generally. And creating a WIC program that empowers WIC participants to have agency over the experience that they have, whether that's in how they are being certified for the program. For example, are they being certified remotely or in person? Whether it's about what they purchase with their food benefits or whether it's about how they engage with nutrition education. There's all kinds of innovative ways that nutrition education can be provided these days. We just really want participants to feel like they're in control of the experience that they have. And in order to do that, we need to enhance choice and flexibility. So updating the food package, continuing to modernize the program, and then just making it easier for folks to participate in the program. And a lot of that is around expanding eligibility.
I assume that can't be done by regulation, but would need to be done by legislation. So let's talk about what's on the table and what should be brought before the Congress.
Yeah, that's a great point. So under the current rules, children can stay on WICs through their fifth birthday, and postpartum women can participate for up to a year if they're breastfeeding and only 6 months if they're not. The National WIC Association would love to see the WIC Act passed because this would provide an additional year of eligibility and allow postpartum and breastfeeding women to stay on for 2 additional years. So it feels like in this current moment where hunger, poverty, and maternal mortality are on the rise, expanding WIC, which is lowering risk for lots and lots of people, would be massively beneficial to millions and millions of people.
Georgia, a minute ago we discussed the modernizing of the program. Take us from soup to nuts, from enrollment to shopping. How have you improved, and how else should there be improvement for those who participate?
Yeah, I love this question because it really focuses on the WIC participant journey, which is what everyone should be focused on when it comes to enhancing WIC and making sure that participants are at the center of all of the decisions that we're making. Over the past few years, we've seen significant improvements when it comes to modernization. So, for example, in the way that people can be certified for the program, there have been flexibilities that have allowed remote certifications to happen. And this has really removed a lot of barriers to families being able to take the first step in accessing WIC. And then once they're enrolled in the program, there have been developments in how participants can engage with the program. So, for example, there are a number of different ways that participants can access nutrition education now. You know, it's not simply just in the clinic. There are apps, there are online nutrition education tools. So one thing that is very true about the WIC community and the folks who work in this program is that they are problem solvers, they are innovators, and they're extremely creative. So when the pandemic happened, we saw an intense moment where the folks working within WIC overcame many challenges by innovating, and a lot of these innovations have kind of laid some groundwork to make modernizations that have been long needed and are kind of long overdue. And so we're really hopeful that Congress will pass the Modern WIC Act to make a lot of these flexibilities permanent and help WIC officers upgrade their technology capabilities as well.
Well, if WIC was the beginning of food as medicine, I also recognize that there have been legislation that was approved, Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, back in 2010, but it would bring WIC in alignment with dietary guidelines. And I understand that we are waiting patiently for the Department of Agriculture to offer some updated nutrition standards.
Yeah, so by law, the WIC food package needs to align with the dietary guidelines for Americans. And the WIC food package is also reviewed by an expert committee through NASEM, the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering and Medicine, to make sure that the foods included in the WIC food package meet the needs of the populations that WIC serves and is in line with the dietary guidelines. And so we're very excited to see updates to the WIC food package coming out in a final rule, hopefully in the next couple of months.
Does it not also create somewhat of a challenge because the more fruits and more vegetables, those generally are more expensive, which while it's providing a greater service and better nutrition to those in need, it also raises the price tag.
So the fruit and vegetable voucher is invaluable to WIC participants. And I think that's one of the things we've also seen over the last few years is that as we've increased the value of the cash value voucher, this CVB, we've collected feedback from WIC participants, and we've seen that the increase of fruit and vegetable vouchers has allowed families to provide not just additional fruits and vegetables to their children, but also introduce them to new types of fruits and vegetables and really kind of lean into setting up those good practices, those good feeding practices early on in life.
The Department of Agriculture and Secretary Vilsack has been working to make sure that the services available are to the universe of those in the U.S. Is there a racial disparity, or has there been a racial disparity within the WIC program that needs to be resolved?
Well, I think there's a racial disparity within America that needs to be resolved, and I think the WIC program is supporting efforts there. I think one of the things that is no secret to anybody is that maternal mortality rates in this country are unacceptable, and they impact people of color far more than they impact white people. I think given the population that WIC serves, there is an opportunity to play a role in intervening there and educating. But one of the big challenges that has been established and why there is an issue there is around bias. And so one of the things that the National WIC Association and the USDA are also working on is work with the WIC workforce and really diversifying the WIC workforce as well, and also making sure that there are opportunities for the WIC workforce to understand the role that bias plays in service delivery.
There's been a lot of discussion about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. I think a point that should be made here is that WIC is not SNAP.
I think that's a great point to make. Yeah, WIC is not SNAP. We often describe WIC as a great training program for SNAP. One of the things that WIC provides is nutrition education, and that nutrition education is something that we hope stays with families for a long time. And so as WIC families age out of WIC and lean more into SNAP if they need to, we're confident that they'll have the skills and resources to be able to choose foods that meet the health needs of their families.
So let's look at some positive news, if we can, as we work to a conclusion. There have been some proposed spending increases. The Department of Agriculture's nutrition title, more than $1 billion. And the Biden FY25 budget suggesting $7.7 billion in funding for the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children. Can you talk about these two and what they would mean for the WIC program?
Yeah, and first off, I just want to say that we're really grateful for the continued support from the administration. You know, I think this last year has demonstrated to us that that's critical. And, you know, we are delighted with the number that's been proposed. I think it will allow us to continue meeting the current needs and the proposed needs of WIC families across the country. I do think there's also need for continued support around innovation, and so we're hoping that we'll be able to continue doing that as well.
Georgia, we want to thank you very much for you taking time to spend with us and discuss the 50-year tradition of WIC and obviously looking ahead to serve those in need in the nation. Thanks for taking time to be with us. This is Open Mic, and today you've got the last word.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just want to emphasize that, you know, at its core, WIC is really about people. It's about the women and the children who need it, the professional support staff who run it, and, you know, as we're all very aware, the members of Congress who have made the right decision to fund it. And so I just want to make clear that WIC is a program that is only going up from here. We're in the process of innovating and modernizing, really focusing on the WIC participant experience and how we can make sure that all people who are eligible for WIC are able to participate in the program. Also want to recognize that WIC is part of a constellation of services, And, you know, within communities, WIC is often the first place that families will go when they find they're pregnant. And so just recognizing the importance of making sure that pregnant women are accessing the program as early as possible and thinking through all the ways that we can make sure that that's happening. And then finally, just words of gratitude to the broad stakeholder community that makes WIC possible. You know, WIC touches a lot of different areas of not just health, but also industry. The WIC food package is a complex package of foods, and it's made possible by the support of industry. And I also want to recognize that our industry partners were really helpful in making sure that the recent funding that WIC received happened.
Our thanks to WIC Interim President and CEO Dr. Georgia Michelle, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.